Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We had a wonderful morning yesterday in our intercessory prayer conference. The Watchman prayer ministry was introduced here in our church to churches all over our area. Mary is one of the teachers, one of those who is helping the Sunday School Board get the word out about that prayer ministry. I first met Mary. Sherry and I were in Indianapolis last summer for the Southern Baptist Convention, and we needed a ride to church, and Mary gave us a ride to church in Indianapolis, Indiana. She has lived in the home of Brother Jimmy and Ms. Carol Ann Draper for several years now. She has cared for Brother Jimmy's mother. Brother Jimmy's mother still lives in their home. I guess y'all are still in the home there with him in Nashville. She lived there in Euless, Texas when he was Robert's pastor at First Baptist Church in Euless, and she's been kind of a personal assistant to them in their home with his mother. And now she is serving with the Sunday School Board, traveling and singing and teaching and praying and doing all kinds of things. And we're very privileged to have her with us this morning. She is a precious, sweet spirit. Revelation chapter 1, as you know, we've been talking about some time that we were going to begin a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Revelation today. This is one of my favorite, if not my very favorite, book to study because I try to read through the book of Revelation several times a year. And every time I read through it, it is a book that you can get something new and something different every time you read through it. I have now intensely studied it in the Greek and preached through it at least three times and maybe a fourth time. I have three times that I have done it on tape. And a fourth time, I believe I did it in a Sunday school class when we didn't tape it, but that's been so many years ago that I'm kind of fuzzy on all of the details. But every time I go through it, I learn something more from it. And we're going to have a great time in weeks to come studying the book of Revelation. We will start this morning just in the first three verses. Now, I want you to understand, this is written by a man that we've been studying for months now anyway. It is written, of course, inspired of the Holy Spirit. Jesus writes it, but the pen that he uses is named the Apostle John. John, the John that wrote the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The John that wrote the book of 1 John, which we are studying now on Sunday night. We've been studying it on Sunday morning all summer long and even before that. And now we're going to finish up that study on the Sunday nights in the next few weeks. But John is in his 90s when he writes this book. Written in the middle 90s of the first century, approximately 95 A.D., John is exiled from the Roman Empire. They couldn't kill John somehow. They killed many of the other disciples, such as Simon Peter. They killed Paul. The Roman Empire killed many of those guys. But John somehow survived all of it and kept on writing and kept on preaching. So finally, they just put him out on a little island that's just basically a pile of rocks. And that island is called Patmos. And there on that island, the Lord revealed, spoke, gave, inspired John to write the book of the Revelation. Now, notice something here. In your Bible, the title of the book is The Revelation. The title of the book is The Revelation. And it is even okay to call the book Revelation. But it is not Revelations. It is not plural. And so don't make the mistake of calling this book Revelations no more than you would call John, John's, or Luke, Luke's, or Hezekiah, Hezekiah's. How many of you studied the book of Hezekiah lately? Few people have? Well, it's not in there. That's okay. Yeah, perhaps there's another book named Hezekiah somewhere. But the Bible calls it the book of Revelation, the Revelation. And so, let's begin right there with the first two words of the book of the letter. The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, notice if you have one of the older King James Bibles, it will say above where it starts the text, it will say, The Revelation of St. John. Now that is incorrect, never should have been written there, never was in the original Greek text. It is not the revelation of St. John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, we have to know what the word revelation means before we can really understand what that means. The word revelation there is apocalypse. The word apocalypse has become famous over the years because of, I believe it was a Spielberg movie called Apocalypse Now, about the Vietnamese or the Vietnam War. And the word apocalypse literally means to take away the covering. Apocalypto, to remove the covering, to take away the veil. And many translations of the word apocalypto are there that say to remove the covering, to uncover, to reveal the revelation. So this is actually the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take away the covering. Now, in the Bible, we find that the book of Revelation is a book that reveals to us who Jesus Christ really is. Now you say, well, we know who Jesus Christ really is. But now when you study the Bible, you find out one picture of the Lord. When you get to the book of Revelation, we're going to find that there's much more about the Lord Jesus that we must learn, and yet there will be even more when we stand before the Lord. People have all kinds of different perspectives about who God is and who the Lord Jesus is. Well, this is an uncovering to tell us more about who Jesus is. I had the privilege this morning of teaching in one of our departments in the 8 o'clock Sunday school. And one of the young couples there in that 8 o'clock Sunday school in the beginning was, we were sharing prayer requests and sharing certain things. And they shared that their 4-year-old had just promoted. Now, I think last week, if I'm correct, was last week the first week that the 4-year-olds were in the worship service? Some of you parents, it wasn't? Has it been a couple of weeks? How long has it been? This is the first week? Well, evidently, some folks brought their 4-year-olds last week for a warm-up session. You know, if you've got one of those hyper 4-year-olds, it's better to get them in here and get them warmed up slowly, you know, okay? And so some of the 4-year-olds were in here last week, evidently, for a warm-up session. And this young couple had their 4-year-old in here last week for the warm-up session. And the little child made the statement, or asked the question this morning, are we going back to big church today and see God? Now, obviously, this poor little misguided child thinks that I'm God. But the follow-up question, are we going back to big church today to see God? The follow-up question was, and why was he so mad? Well, wrong on both counts. You know, your perspective of who God is very, very important to you. And what we find in the book of Revelation is that we have an uncovering of who God is. Yes, He is Jesus Christ, but more of that, because when you study the Bible in the Old Testament, you see Jesus. Now, Jesus is in the Old Testament. I've heard professors who were educated beyond their own intelligence say, well, it is wrong to read Jesus Christ in the Old Testament with His cultural conditioning and blah, blah, blah. You are spiritualizing the Old Testament. Well, I believe that the Old Testament is the story of Jesus Christ. The story of the law is the story of the need of man for a Savior and the preparation of man to receive the Savior that was sent in the beginning of the New Testament. And so when we see Jesus in the Old Testament, He is, however, veiled or draped in the law. We don't see Him clearly. When we see Him even in the New Testament, especially when we see Him in the Gospels, Jesus Christ, God the Son, is veiled or draped in human flesh. We do not see God as He is completely and totally. The Bible teaches us, in fact, we had one man ask the question Wednesday night, the Bible says that no man can see God, but yet we can see Jesus. Yes, we can see God and see Him in Jesus, but yet He is veiled in human flesh because the glory of God, the glory of Jesus, if it were not veiled in the law in the Old Testament, if it were not veiled in the flesh in the Gospels, if it were not veiled with human flesh, we as humans now in our fallen state cannot look upon God. Moses was there on Mount Sinai when God gave him the law. But just getting near God caused Moses not to be able to see. He had such a glow on his face when he came back. He had to wear a veil. And so in the Old Testament, Jesus is veiled in the law. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ is veiled in the flesh. But now we come to the book of the Revelation, the Apocalypto, the removing of the veil. Now, it is my own personal opinion from studying this book for many, many years now that the writing of the book of Revelation is not all of the unveiling. After we've studied the book of the Revelation, you will have a new perspective of who Jesus is. However, you will not have all of the perspective of seeing God. The book of the Revelation is an unveiling, but it is more the story of the unveiling, the story of the rapture of the church, the story of the tribulation that will take place for 7 years on this earth, the story of the return, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the battle of Armageddon, and our living together forever with the Lord Jesus. It is the story of the eternal unveiling of the Lord Jesus. And so, no, when we finish chapter 22, we will not necessarily see all there is to see about Jesus, but we will know the story, we will know the sequence, we will know that there is a time coming when we will see Him as He is, with no veil whatsoever. The book of Revelation, the unveiling, the apocalypto, the apocalypse. Apocalypse is the noun meaning the removal of the veil. The apocalypto is the verb meaning to remove the veil. The word is a word much like what's kind of happening in our church right now. You know, last week when we were in here together, we had Visqueen on this side, just like it is right now. We had Visqueen on this side. But sometime along the way this week, the fourth grade boys got loose in here. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. But the workers took away this covering over here. Now, if you haven't noticed yet, and I'm sure you probably have, the Visqueen covering on the bottom side, the back there, has been removed. And when that is removed, one of the most beautiful things happened. The light of the morning sun pours into our auditorium now. I love it. I like bright things. Now, I know that the senior adults this morning, when they sat down over here, I got to come in and visit with them a little bit, about 7:50, 7:55. And when they were sitting here, the sun shining right across through here. And if you're going to be sitting over there after this one's down, the sun will shine in that way. We'll put up some Venetian blinds, or we'll get blue blockers for everybody in those sections, or something. But what the book of the Revelation is to remove the veil, just like this Visqueen has been removed, and let the light, the glory of the sun, not S-U-N, but the glory of the S-O-N, shine into our life. And so I want to challenge you right here on the first two words, the Revelation. We're going to be in this, I don't know how long. I don't know how long the Lord will allow us to study the book of Revelation. Last time, it took about a year. It may not take quite that long. It may take twice this long this time. I don't know how long it will take. But I want to challenge you, don't miss any of those times together, because you can understand the book of Revelation, and we will study it together. So, the revelation of Jesus Christ. John is not being revealed, Jesus is being revealed. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let's march on down through the first verse there and pick up a few other key things. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now, I want to share two things about the phrase must shortly come to pass. First of all, there are four different ideas of how to interpret the book of the Revelation. Four different ideas. Some say that the book of the Revelation is all about the past. They say that the book of the Revelation, all this stuff that we read about, all of the horses and all the chariots and all the battles and all of the plagues, all that all took place in the past. That all was fulfilled in the first century. And they say when Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, well, that fulfilled all of the book of the Revelation. In fact, it's just a history book of the past. Well, I personally don't believe that that's the case. The second view of the book of the Revelation is it's a panorama of church history. It is just simply a panorama of things that have happened over the years since the first century in the church, but it has all taken place. I don't really believe that is the case either. Someone else has said it's not just past, it's not just panoramic, but it's parabolic. It is just a parable, just simply nothing but symbol, just a parable. And that parable is simply to show the struggle between good and evil, which has existed in the world since the beginning. Well, if that's the case, why didn't God just say that's what it is? He doesn't say that. You know, many times, so many people come with the Bible and they'll read a verse and they say, well, you know, what does this mean? Well, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means most of the time, all of the time. And if it was a panorama of church history or just a history book to tell what happened by 70 AD, or if it was just a parable to show the struggle between good and evil, why didn't God just say, well, this is a parable? He doesn't say that. He doesn't write that. God says what He means, and He means what He says. I want you to understand what it is. It's a book of prophecy. Look at verse 3 in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this parable. Is that what it says? Or blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the past. Or the panorama. Doesn't say that. The prophecy. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. The book of the Revelation is a prophecy. It is telling us what the future of the world and all of eternity is. It is contained in the book of the Revelation. It has not all come to pass. It has not all been done. It has not all taken place in church history. There are things in here that we have not seen yet. And therefore, it is a book of prophecy, and we can study it and know it. Now, in verse 1, I said a few moments ago, there are two things I want to say about that phrase, shortly come to pass. Many would read that and say, well, it's obvious that the book is not true, because John wrote it in 95 AD, and he made the statement, this will shortly come to pass, and it has been almost 1900 years, and there's no way that you can say that something that's supposed to come shortly didn't come in 1900 years. There's no way that you can say that's true. But you've got to understand what the phrase shortly comes to pass literally means. It is from the Greek word tokos, and it is a connection of two Greek words, en tokai, meaning come quickly. Now the word tokai in the Greek is a word from which we get our word taxi. Taxi. Now, I did not know that. I've studied the book many times through, didn't know that until this time. Tokai is where we get our word taxi, which means to take quickly away. Now, it does not mean that it is going to come to pass soon. Many people use that word or that phrase, which shall shortly come to pass. Many people think that means this will come very soon. In tokai is not a reference to chronological or when it's going to happen. But it is a reference to how fast it will happen when it does begin to take place. So in tokai, these things shall quickly come to pass. In tokai, these things when they begin will unfold quickly, and they will happen in rapid succession. Very rapid succession. Now, what is the book of Revelation? It is the unveiling, the unmasking, so to speak, of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a book that is prophecy. It is a book that tells about things that are going to take place in a hurry when they begin. But now, in the last phrase, in verse 1, it says, He sent and signified it by His angel unto the servant John. Now, people will say, man, it's difficult to understand the book of Revelation. It's not written just in everyday language. I mean, we're talking about these animals with seven heads and seven horns and fire here and all of these things. How can you understand that? And why did God write the book of the Revelation through John with all of these symbols like that? That question has often been asked. Well, it's very important to understand. Look right there, if you will, in verse 1 where it says, He sent and signified it. Now, you know what the word signified means there? It means just exactly what it says. Let me read that word signified to you, and you listen carefully. It is not just signified, but literally the word is signified. You see the word there? Signified. In other words, God spoke to John in signs. These are signs of what is coming to pass. Symbols. So when you read the book of the Revelation, you will read symbols, you will read signs. Now, why did God do that? Why didn't He just say what was going to happen and write it out in plain language so we'd understand? Very simple answer to that. Because, you see, language, words change over the years. When I was a boy in elementary school, the word gay meant what? Happy. What does it mean now? If somebody says about one of our staff members or one of our deacons or one of our Sunday school teachers, why, he's a gay guy. You want them saying that about you? Well, hey, the word has taken on new meaning. See, words inside any language. We can even see in studying the ancient Greek language that words took on new meaning. We have a word now that is in the process of reversing itself completely. The word bad. You remember what the word bad used to mean? Well, I heard a guy talking about an automobile the other day, and he said, man, that's a bad car. You know what he meant? It's a good car. I like that car. But see, words transform themselves, but signs, symbols, do not. I think it's so wonderful that our choir and Mary sang together in signs this morning. You see, those signs, those symbols don't change. I was in Pompeii on the southern side of Italy several years ago. And in Pompeii, the huge volcano there destroyed the city in approximately 200 B.C., 200 years before the Lord Jesus lived. And you can go into the ruins of Pompeii and you can see writings on the walls of those old walls that are still standing there. And it was very interesting. In one of the excavations, way down below the ground level, because the volcano filled it up and they were excavating down to where the ancient city was, on the walls of one of those houses, there was a little heart shape carved out of the wall. And it had two letters like BB plus SC. That's Bobby Boyle plus Sherry Crumb. That's my wife and I. But now she's not that old, though. They weren't our letters, okay? But I forget what the letters were. But a heart, two letters up here, a plus sign, and two letters down here. And I thought, man, 2,100 years ago, the symbol has stood all the way. Can you imagine if the Lord had just used words? So the first century Christians could have understood what He was saying about the second coming of Christ. If He had just used words for them, how much all of that would have changed? We wouldn't be able to understand it. Or could you imagine if He would have used words that would really describe it? Let's say that the rapture of the church might happen this afternoon, and the book says that it might. And the second coming of Christ will happen in 7 years, and the Battle of Armageddon will take place then. And we'll talk about nuclear war, and we'll talk about jets, and we'll talk about flamethrowers, and we'll talk about tanks and computers and the Battle of Armageddon. Now, can you imagine an old boy named Polycarp in 105 A.D. reading about a tank with a computer on it? He'd say, well, man, what is that? This book is weird. There's no way that anybody could ever understand this stuff. And so you see, rather than talking about tanks and computers and flamethrowers and all of those things, God wrote the whole book through John in signs. He sent it and He signified. He did it through signs to John, and those signs have not and will not change. It's just like when I do this to you, you know what that means? Hook 'em horns, right? No. That's ASL or American Sign Language for I love you. And the song that Mary sang this morning, I love you, that sign. God has given us a sign in the book of Revelation that He loves us and that He is coming again for us. So let's read verse 1 again and see how this works. The revelation, the uncovering, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must in tokai, which will quickly come to pass when they begin. And He gave, He sent, and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. Now John's there, 95 A.D., on the Isle of Patmos. Verse 2, who bear record of the Word of God, now that's John, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all the things that he saw. John writes it down for us. I'm so thankful that John did that. You know, if God speaks to somebody today, sometimes they write it down and sometimes they don't. But I'm so thankful that old faithful John always sat down and wrote what God said to him. So we have the record of it today. Now, verse 3, I want us to see a promise of the book. We've got the person of the book, which is Jesus Christ. The purpose of the book is to reveal Jesus Christ. But now we have a promise of the book in verse 3. Verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I heard Dr. Jerry Vines say one time about the book of Revelation, when he was being ordained to ministry many years ago, and Dr. Vines is a pastor of First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. He's been a famous preacher, great godly man for many, many years. And Dr. Vine says many years ago when he was ordained in the church that he was ordained in, the ordaining council, you know, when you ordain a man, he meets with the ordaining council and they instruct him and then they question him and instruct him some more and then question him some more. One of the instructions that came from the ordination council to Dr. Jerry Vines was this. One of the older men that were at least older than he was, said to him, son, if you want to be a good preacher, one thing you got to do is stay away from the book of Revelation. It's hard to understand. People won't understand it. You'll get in trouble trying to go through it. So just stay away from it. Don't read it. Don't preach it. Just stay out of the book of the Revelation. And he said, well, you know, I thought in my mind, I've tried to read a little bit of that, and it is dark and dreary and weird, and I don't really understand it, and that just sounds good. And so he said for years, he stayed out of the book of the Revelation. But you know, the Bible, and he's the one that admits this and teaches this, the Bible in verse 3 of Revelation 1 says, blessed or a great blessing is promised to those that will get into, that will read and receive and respond to the book of Revelation. And so, why would God tell you that He's going to bless you for reading something that is impossible to understand? It is not impossible to understand. It is just written in signs rather than just being written in words. So, the blessing is promised to people that read the book of the Revelation. I told you when I began the message this morning that I like to read through the book of Revelation several times a year. That's why. God says, blessed is he, or a blessing will be for him that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things which are written therein. Now let's talk about what you've got to do in order to get the blessing. You need to read through the book of Revelation. I would challenge you to read through the book of the Revelation 12 times in the next year. Read through it once a month. You've got 22 chapters there. If you'll read Monday through Friday, a chapter of Revelation every Monday, and read another one on Tuesday, Monday through Friday, all year long, you will read through the book of the Revelation approximately once a month for the next 12 months. And at the end of the year, you will know what's going on very clearly and very carefully in the book of the Revelation. Read it. Just read a chapter. Some of the chapters are extremely short. If you could do that probably in somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes a day. You just read one chapter of the book of Revelation. Let me challenge you to do that, because God says He will bless you if you read it. But now there's more to it than just reading it. First of all, you read it, and then they that hear the words of this prophecy. The word hear there is receive, meaning you don't just read it, but you believe it. You receive it into your life. And then look at the third thing. Not only do we read it and receive it, but also those that keep those things which are written therein. You must respond to it. Do you know, if you study the book of the Revelation and you began to see the veil removed from the Lord Jesus Christ and see more of who He is and more of how He is coming back, then you are going to live differently. Because to see Jesus better is to know Him more and to love Him more and to live differently ourselves. And so the promise of the book is a blessing to those who read and receive and respond to the book of the Revelation. And now, I want to tell you one thing that reading the book of the Revelation will do for you. how it has changed my life. It'll make you a positive person. It really will. And by the way, some of y'all need that. Some of y'all need that desperately. Some of you need it worse than others. But reading the book of the Revelation will make you a positive person. I don't think I have always been a positive person. There was a time in my life that I was real critical and everything was wrong and I was bothered, and because of my background with my dad and all that kind of junk, life was just pitiful. But when I found the Lord Jesus, of course, that made a major difference. But then, you know how sometimes you'll be reading along in a book and boy, the suspense is building and you want to know what's going on, and so you jump over and you read the last chapter. Now, don't look at me like you're spiritual. I know y'all do that too. How many of you, just be honest and confess before God today? You've done that. You've skipped over in a book, whether it's a novel or whatever, and you've read the last chapter just to see if the guy made it out of the lion's cage. Okay? How many of you have done that? You skipped over? Yeah. Well, you know what we're doing here? We're going to the last chapter of history. We're skipping over to the last chapter of eternity, so to speak. How can eternity have a last chapter? The last chapter that's written about it, we got it. And you know what we find when we get over to the last chapter? We find that those who knew the Lord Jesus Christ lived through the whole thing. And not only did they live, but they live and they had great joy and they had great victory and great power, and all of God's authority was shared with the bride of Christ, which, by the way, is us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to reign with Jesus throughout all eternity. Now, let me ask you a question. Won't that make you a more positive person when you realize everything's going to be okay if you know the Lord Jesus? That's why I'm positive. Hey, we may lose a battle or two, but we're guaranteed to win the war. You know what I mean? We may lose a battle or two, but we're guaranteed to win the war. Now, I want to say one last thing. We'll be through this morning. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 ends up like this. For the time is at hand. Now that phrase there very simply means it could take place at any moment. It is imminent. Maybe not immediate, but definitely imminent, meaning it could take place at any moment. Therefore, the time is at hand. Now, I want to just ask you something before we even get started here. You've heard some of the things that I've mentioned this morning about the rapture of the church, meaning the Lord is going to come and take the people of God out of the earth, and then 7 years tribulation is going to ensue. And then at the end of that, the Lord will come back and fight the battle of Armageddon, kill all the enemies of God. Horrible things will happen for 7 years on this earth. Now, that's all going to unfold very, very quickly, and the next thing that takes place is the rapture of the church. And it says that the time is at hand, meaning it could happen at any time. Now, I'll just tell you, all the way through the book of the Revelation, the very next thing we will find, the very next thing to happen from where we are in history right now, the very next thing to happen is the trumpet of God to sound. And all Christians will disappear. We'll be taken to heaven. That's the beginning of the tribulation. We got to go out before the tribulation can happen.